Welcome everyone to episode 204 of the Reds Unrestricted podcast. I'm your host David Comerford, and I'm joined by Liam Tower and Jamie Barton for this year's edition of Keep Loan Sell.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
So in the past three March international breaks now, I want to say we've done this. We've gone through Liverpool squad players and we've decided as the end of the season approaches whether we would keep them, loan them out or sell them in the upcoming summer window. This year it's particularly significant for a couple of reasons. Obviously the headline is that Liverpool are changing managers. We don't know who that's going to be just yet. But we've also seen in the past week, Richard Hughes confirmed as Liverpool's new sporting director, arriving from Bournemouth, basically handpicked by Michael Edwards. And he'll obviously play a big role in making many of the decisions too, particularly when there are contract deadlines involved as well. So before we get going, I'm just going to quickly run through the list of players that we're going to be talking about today. We've got Kelleher, Matip, Kwanzaa, Tsimikas, Bajcetic, Carvalho, Clark and Gakpo as the list. It's not easy to always work out who's a squad player and who isn't, but I thought those are the ones who kind of fit the bill most of all. And if we do decide to keep a player, if we decide to sell a player, we'll talk about what kind of price tag we would need to tempt us to do a deal with another club. And we'll start with the goalkeeper, Kelleher, and with it being your fellow Irishman, I'll come to you first, Liam, for your verdict on him, please.
You've obviously alluded to the nationality there, which means that I have an obvious soft spot for him. But even aside from that, I think it's fair to say that since he's come in for Alisson over the last couple of months or so, he has been magnificent. So consistent in every game, immense in the Carabao Cup final. Some people say, okay, maybe he could have saved the Diallo's winner for Man United the other day. But I think overall he has never let Liverpool down in a big way when he has been entrusted to play for us. I would say I really hope we keep him. And I think if I were in a position of power Liverpool, I would be fighting tooth and nail to keep him. The caveat, of course, is that he's 25 now. He's had his taste of regular first team action over the last few weeks. He's proven that he can perform at the upper end of a Premier League level. But I think when Alisson comes in, it's most unlikely that he's going to be left on the bench in deference to Kelleher. So I would understand from a player's point of view if he did wish to move on in the summer and become an undisputed number one elsewhere. I want to keep him, and I would not entertain anything south of 30 million in terms of trying to sell him.
Yeah, that was exactly the number I had in mind. That I've also gone for keep on him. I was in the barbers the other day, and the guy who was cutting my hair said that he wouldn't get back into the team, Alisson, when he was fit again. And I was thinking, okay, I mean, Kelleher's obviously been very good. That's a bit of a stretch. You know, he's not all of a sudden become the best goalkeeper in the world. I think there's not any he could have done in this period that would have allowed him to dislodge Alisson. It kind of reminds you of that thing where it's like when your barber's dropping questionable football takes and you've just got to kind of nod along because they've got a lot of power in their hands at that moment. But yeah, I mean, just to quickly run through his stats from this season. 22 appearances for the club, which is obviously a lot more than people anticipated. The thought would just be that he was a Europa League / Domestic Cup goalkeeper. That's 43 for Liverpool overall, 12 of those in the Premier League. Under contract for 2 years, which tends to be sort of the decision time when it comes to the future of a player. And significantly as well, has a growing catalogue of appearances in big games with two cup finals now, both on the winning side, and then obviously that home game against Man City as well, where he played very well. And I just think, like you, Liam, he's shown in this recent stretch that you're not going to get anybody better for that sort of backup keeper role. So for me, keep him and only consider selling if you receive an offer in the region of 30 million. Jamie, obviously this is sort of transfer by committee. So you have already been overruled, even if you were to disagree, but what would you say on Kelleher anyway?
No, there's no complaints for me on this one. Yeah. It's been a bit bizarre season, really. I think going into it, I certainly thought, I don't know what you guys felt, that that he'd been great servant to the club, and maybe, just maybe, he'd stayed one season too long or something like that. Is up until this season, his kind of crowning glory obviously comes in the Carabao Cup final 2 seasons ago. Don't have to wax lyrical about that anymore than we already have done. But genuinely, he's been one of the surprises of the season for me, and in all the best ways. I thought maybe coming into it that he would see the Europa League games and maybe a few cup games and nothing else. But now, obviously, just because of the Alisson injury, he's been playing a key role, and he's still surprising me every game. And maybe I should be less surprised when he pulls off a fantastic one-on-one save, or he looks completely calm with the ball at his feet, because he quietly been doing this for many years now for Liverpool, which is a bizarre thing to say about someone who, despite his age, we still think of maybe as a young player. So yeah, that, to me, there's no question. I think 30 million is I wouldn't take 30 million personally. I know you're not saying you would. But if we were gun to head, had to sell him, I'd be looking for more like 35, 40. I think. Easy to believe your own hype, but I do genuinely agree with the kind of best number two in the world role. I don't really see a better one.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about a goalkeeper at his age range, I believe, given when Liverpool signed him, he classifies as homegrown as well, which is obviously a huge thing when it comes to squad building. With that combined with his ability on the ball, the shot stopping he's shown recently, I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, you know, he would be sort of more than 30, and you know, as much as you'd hope in a dream scenario that he would like to stay and just kind of continue playing this role and being that perfect backup of Liverpool, you know, the logical part of your brain tells you that eventually he is going to want to move on and launch his own career as number one, because he's proven that he's good enough to do that at a high level. But seeing as that one was unanimous, we'll move on now to Joel Matip. Not quite keep loan sell on him, because he's obviously out of contract. So what we're really saying is, would we offer him an extension? Basically, Liverpool, I think, have committed to making sure he has somewhere to complete his rehabilitation from the ACL injury he's just suffered. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get a one-year extension or anything like that. I'll throw this one straight back to you first. Jamie, what would you do on this contract one?
I would cry a single tear and I would let him go, personally. It's interesting that around the time of the injury, Klopp quite quickly comes out and doesn't outright say, but suggests that the club might try and do something to kind of extend his deal. So, as you say, he could have somewhere to kind of recover from the ACL and all of that. That seemingly goes away, and the conspiracy theorist in me suggests that goes away when it becomes clear that Klopp might also be going away. And then it becomes the decision, not of the manager, but the rest of the transfer committee or the board or whoever deals with these sorts of things. So we'll get on to talk about Jarrell Kwanzaa in a sec, but he's crucial in this question to me. And the form that he's shown, to me, he's now above Matip in the pecking order, even when Matip comes back, which seems bonkers to say, particularly given how really, really good Matip was again earlier this season for us. You see people talking about who's injured for us at the moment, and it's a long list, but people forget that he was ahead of Ibrahima Konate at the start of this season. So it's not like he has been tailing off for a while, even though maybe we thought he was in pre-season. But to me, this just feels like one injury too far. And look, we'll see how he comes back. But I think it would be a very big statement to renew the contract of a player who has had such a difficult injury, particularly when you factor in his age and you factor in the players in Kwanzaa's case, who is looking to take his spot and who hopefully we can develop and turn into the new Joel Matip or the new Virgil van Dijk or whoever it may be. So for me, it's a let go, I'm afraid.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have too much to add on that, except the fact that I think Michael Edwards didn't want to give Jordan Henderson a new deal, similar age range, better availability. I can't see a world where, I mean, whether he's going to be involved in signing off contracts, I don't know, but I can't see a world whether you know, him and Richard Hughes are in charge and they decide to, you know, give Matip another deal. I just don't think ultimately it makes sense. But, you know, like you kind of alluded to, Jamie, credit to him for bouncing back this season. Because I think last year we all thought, obviously as Liverpool kind of crumbled collectively, but I think we all sort of thought, you know, he's kind of over the hill past it now. But he really responded well. And then, you know, just the heartbreaking injury for him. And Liverpool have coped well with that, to be fair. But I think there's going to need to be a new face coming in that position. I'll just come to you then, Liam, to finish. Do you also think that it's time for Matip to move on now?
I do think that I can't see him being ordered a new deal. So for the reasons that we specified, your age profile, he's been out for a long time. It's probably going to be difficult for him to get back to those levels, considering he'll be 33 at the start of next season. His job contract-wise, he's on 100,000 a week, if I'm to correction on that. But again, that's something that, you know, that the Power Brooks might look at and say could be a better use of the wage bill elsewhere. And now that there's added competition for places, you know, with Kwanzaa coming through in addition to Gomez and Kanate and of course Van Dijk, then I do think that as much as it pains me to say it, this is one where you have to be head over heart and thank him for everything in the summer and let him find somewhere else to see out the last few years of his career.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm not saying that this will happen, but it wouldn't hugely surprise me if he ended up retiring within the next couple of years, if he did suffer another major injury, because he has had a really good career, but it's obviously one where injuries have played a significant part in it. So unanimous again.
I will say he seems like the archetype and type of player who will be back in 10 years' time for the Legends match.
Yeah, definitely. And I think would be a big hit in that kind of scenario as well. Maybe just wondering who'd be alongside. I mean, they wheel out anyone for the Legends matches, so it could be alongside Colo Torre or something like that, to be honest. But so that was unanimous as well. I suspect this third one will be the same, but I do think there is an element of devil's advocate that can be played here. So it is, like Jamie said, Jarrell Kwanzaa, who's our third player on the list. I'll come straight back to you on him first, Liam.
Yeah, for me, 100% keep. He's proven now, it isn't just that he's had a burst of four or five games where he's been good. He's shown it over 6 months that he, for someone who never played for Liverpool's first team before late August, he has stepped up so well. There's been quite a change in cast of characters on the side of him. It's helped that he's had Van Dijk alongside him, but at the same time, he also has to, like, Van Dijk can't, you know, play the ball for him or like that either. So, rock solid, remarkably well how he's taken to, like, his first season at Premier League level. And also, like I said, if we are letting Joel Matip leave at the end of his contract, then we are back to four centre-halves again. And as this season has shown, we probably can't afford to have any fewer than that. So for me, it's an easy one. Jarrod Kwanzaa stays. And in terms of an asking price, it's hard to even, like, put a value on him just because, you know, he's come through and, you know, there hasn't been any even speculation of any club coming in. So it's hard. I'm struggling to even put a number on him. But again, it probably would have to be something fairly sizable just for how good he is now and how outstanding he could become. So I'm probably going to sit in defence in terms of a number, but I don't need the Edwards and Hughes are going to entertain the offers for him anyway.
Yeah, I think with Kwanzaa, it's basically keep versus loan on the back of this season. 25 appearances, just under 2,000 minutes, 6 Premier League starts, including Manchester City at home, where he largely performed well. I agree with you on this one, Liam, in terms of keeping him. I will play devil's advocate before I throw it to you, Jamie, just in the sense that, you know, if Matip goes, there's an overwhelming chance that the new manager would want to bring in another centre-back. And then that player, you'd presume, is jostling with Kanate for the role of starting alongside Virgil van Dijk. Is there an argument that it would be better in those circumstances to send Kwanzaa to another Premier League club for a season if you've got kind of a more reliable option in there with Joe Gomez available too? Or do you think that he's played so well this season that he just simply has to be kept around?
Yeah, the latter really. And I think also what we've seen this season more than probably any other than maybe the COVID season is that we're going to need everyone we've got in terms of all across the pitch really, but especially in defence. You know, next season we'll be coming off the back of the Euros as well. Particularly if someone like Joe Gomez goes to that, then you worry about maybe the injury record of certainly him, certainly Ibrahima Konate. Van Dijk is obviously has a generally exceptional injury record, but he'll be a year older. We don't know who it is who's coming in. So I just think we'll probably need everyone we can get, really. Yes, we'll be in the Champions League, so there'll be less opportunity to kind of blood youngsters and stuff. But to me, Kwanzaa isn't a youngster anymore. If he was before the City game, then he's certainly not now. That was really a kind of a coming of age if it hadn't already happened. To me, he's a senior player now, and that seems bonkers to be talking about someone who Bristol Rovers fans weren't particularly enamoured with last season in League One, even if he did all right there. But yeah, he's a kind of first team squad member. He's not a youngster to me anymore, so I think we have to keep him around. I would also say as well, we don't know who's going to come in and we don't know what style they're going to play, but someone like Alonso, if it were him, might look to play a back three, in which case suddenly we need probably more centre-backs than we currently have. And I could see Kwanzaa fitting into one of those roles very well as well. So to me, just echoing both of what you said, it's a no-brainer. He's a keep.
Yeah, interesting to see how much he improves next season as well. And not only Liverpool being back in the Champions League, but also an expanded Champions League with 8 games in the first phase now, as opposed to just 6. So bigger squads are going to be important. Let's move on to Kostas Tsimikas then. 27 years old, under contract for another 3 years still. This season, he's played 23 games, just under 1,500 minutes, 16 starts overall, half of those in the Premier League, but only one since he returned from injury in the middle of February. So it's been a bit of a quiet period for him. I would say, Liam, that he's been someone who's been in this episode every single year, really, since we started doing it. Where do you land on him?
As we're talking right now, I would be in favour of keeping him simply because we've seen both him and Robertson injured this season. There was a bit of overlap between those two injuries as well. Gomez, to his credit, did a magnificent job at left back during that crossover period. But as we alluded to earlier, we know that Gomez himself has had periods where he's had a lengthy time out himself. So with the current competition in the squad, I don't think we can afford to get rid of him too readily. I think he's one of those players that if someone were to come in with a decent offer, maybe something like a 25, 30 million, and if Edwards and Hughes have a left back lined up to come in, or if they have someone in mind that, like, yeah, he is the guy, I want him in Liverpool, either Robertson's backup or to really push Robertson for his place. I have heard Anthony Robinson being mentioned in transfer dispatches, so he might be one possible option to come in, even though he's only a year younger than Tsimikas. So right now, I would say keep, even if it's not as emphatic as the other two players to which I get that billing.
Yeah, I also had 25 million down because I think you can probably get a good backup left back for that. And I think Tsimikas has a CV where you could probably demand at least that amount, which would obviously be more than doubling Liverpool's initial investment. What about you, Jamie? Where do you land on his future and what kind of price tag would you be looking for him if he was to go?
Yeah, I'm also, generally speaking, a keep, although as Liam says, I'm not quite as emphatic on that as I have been on some of the others. Again, it's so difficult to do this, more difficult than ever, really, given that we don't really know what style of football we'll be seeing next season. Gomez has done a very, very solid job at left back. But, for example, if we were switching to a back 3/5 with wing backs who are going to bomb on and get into the box, then then that's probably not something that you'd expect Gomez to be particularly good at on the left-hand side. Although he seems like he can do everything this season, so maybe he'd be fine. I, having said that, would probably ask for a bit less than what you guys are asking for. I'd say maybe 20 million or something like that would be, to me, a more realistic figure, given his age mostly. And yes, he's got a very good CV in terms of winning things with Liverpool, but I don't think rival clubs or any other clubs will think about his involvement as much as we do as Liverpool fans. Obviously, we remember the FA Cup winning penalty and the fact that it was him who puts the corner in for Van Dijk to win the Carabao Cup this season. I don't think that's on the mind of as many kind of opposition teams as it's on our mind. And so his kind of profile in those big moments, in those victories, is probably diminished among those who would be looking to buy him. So 20 million to me, for a player of his age, I think I would probably take for that.
Yeah, I take your point. But I also think that if you're a sort of Champions League team, in a lot of countries, he is kind of just a ready-made offensive fullback, basically sitting there. You know, he's going to deliver for you based on what you've seen him do at Liverpool. So he is very much, he's in that bracket, isn't he? I think we all broadly agree on his level and things like that. And maybe at times Liverpool have been guilty of overestimating the market for players. But hopefully Tsimikas is one who, if he did go, could command a decent fee. But I don't think anyone has any complaints with him in the current system being a backup to Robertson whatsoever. Maybe slightly more intrigue around this one because he's barely played at all this season, Stefan Bajcetic. I mean, I don't imagine we're going to want to, you know, get rid of him on the basis of the injury, but there might be an argument for a loan here. I think he's only played 2 games. One of those was against LASK in the Europa League, the first game, and then I think he came on against Leicester in the first Carabao Cup match Liverpool played. But basically has been going through quite literal growing pains and is only now kind of in the phase that a lot of his teammates are in when they were in pre-season. So there is a chance that he'll play before the season is out. But when we look back, this might be a year that was basically entirely lost to injury for him after he was so impressive in the back end of last year. So, Jamie, do you think he comes back into the Liverpool squad and competes for starts next season, or could it be for him to go and reset out on loan somewhere?
I think he's probably a keep for me, as in a keep in the squad. Although it's a really tricky one, and we're going to come on to talk about Bobby Clark. But to me, there's maybe a kind of either or situation there. So if you look at our kind of our nailed on first team midfielders, there's six of them as far as I see it. It's McAllister, Szoboszlai, Endo, Jones, Elliott, and Gravenberch. Outside of those, I think he's probably, and it's so difficult given that what we've seen from him this season, i.e. nothing, but he's probably the next most senior and the next most kind of ready and capable right now. There's also an added thing in that if it is between him and Bobby Clark, I think we're better equipped in that 8 position than we are maybe in the 6 position, which I think is where Bajcetic is a bit more comfortable, particularly given how well we've seen McAllister do when he's been put further forward in that 8, despite being very, very good at the 6 earlier in the season as well. So it's a really tricky one, and I think it's probably the most tricky of the list. But to me, it's a keep. It's a keep for Bajcetic.
Yeah, I would also keep him. One thing I should say on this is that obviously his fellow Spaniard, Thiago, is also out of contract. I meant to say before that I've basically just left him out of the list because I think it's pretty clear at this point that his Liverpool career is pretty much over. Unfortunately, I don't think there's any sort of room for debate on him as opposed to players like Bajcetic. And do you know what? He's been out that long. I had the rhythm last season with saying his name, but now I'm really having to sort of think it through when I'm saying it. But yeah, like, brilliant last season. And I'm still very excited about what he can offer in the future. So I would keep hold of him. But Liam, with McAllister playing so well this season, with Endo really coming into his own as well. Again, sort of similar to what I asked about Kwanzaa, could you sort of say that, you know what, if he can go somewhere else and start, and obviously at a decent level, but if he can go somewhere else and start regularly, that might actually be better for him next year in terms of almost making up for those lost minutes in a way, as opposed to sticking around at Anfield and maybe only featuring in cups.
Yeah, this is where I think we're going to have our first bit of disparity in terms of the answers that we've had, because I have had him down to loan out in the summer. For the reasons that we've discussed, I think he's been out for so long. I'd actually even forgotten about those two matches in September where he featured. I just think he's been out for so long, and it almost feels like he's having to start his senior career from scratch all over again, just because he only got in for that brief period last season. And I think the other difference is that the midfield into which Bajetic came in, you know, midway through last season was, I think by all accounts, a fairly stale one, and an underperforming one, and in the eyes of any supporters, probably one of the biggest weaklings in the team. Whereas now, you know, as we know, it's been completely refreshed in the meantime, and it's probably one of the strongest areas when everyone is fit and firing, and you know, because it's been out for so long, it is going to take him that while to get back up to speed. So I do think he needs minutes, and I don't think, again, we know how fluid situations can be, and we've seen it over the last few months, but as we're talking now, I don't see him getting a whole lot of game time at Liverpool next season. So I think a loan move, and more importantly, the right loan move, and whatever that is, to a club or a manager who you can be as confident can be, that will give him the game time he needs, that he's just going to go somewhere to a club who might sack their manager a month later and the new guy just doesn't fancy him. So I would say I can see him going out on loan for the start of next season.
Yeah, one thing on the loans as well is, like, the players who've gone out on loan this year, we're going to come on to one in a second, it's not really gone well for them. A lot of them, you know, I think Calvin Ramsey got recalled, Carvalho obviously got recalled, Phillips as well, Reece Williams, I think, has had a bit of a nightmare. Yeah, previously, we've seen Liverpool raise the value of players or make them first team ready when they've been away for those temporary spells, but doesn't feel like it's gone quite as well this year. So with the new kind of system in place, I wonder if we'll see any changes to how Liverpool approach it, or whether this year has just been a case of bad luck. And obviously, if you are going to loan a player out, the choice of club is everything, and you do need that bit of fortune, and there's only a certain amount that you can control. And I think sometimes we expect a player to end up in the lower reaches of the Premier League, and it turns out he's sort of near the top of the Championship instead, and that obviously has an impact too. Someone who is in the Championship, Fabio Carvalho, bit of a disaster for him at Leipzig, it has to be said, played 360 minutes, I believe. Things have looked up for him since he joined Hull in January, with 4 goals in 11 games. Really unique situation, arrived with a lot of excitement from Fulham, started really well, minutes fell off a cliff last season. Klopp didn't seem to fancy him too much, but he might be one who's actually glad that a new manager's coming in, which you might not be able to say about many of the players in the squad at the moment. Jamie, what would you do with Carvalho this summer?
This is my first loan, I think. And crucially, we spoke about getting the right loan. I think it needs to be a Premier League loan. That might be the very bottom of the Premier League, but I think he's proven now twice at Fulham and at Hull that he is probably too good for the Championship, I think. Obviously, you touched on it, didn't go well for him at RB Leipzig. But I think it has to be a Premier League loan as far as I'm concerned. I think the Klopp thing is interesting, because, as you say, he might be the only player who's actually glad to see the back of him. His issue didn't seem to be with the club. It seemed to be with the manager, which is very surprising at the time, given how warmly everyone speaks about him. But that's the issue. I think a lot also, I keep saying this, but a lot depends on the system that we play next season. I don't think he is good enough to play as an eight in the way that Klopp plays with his eight. And it didn't seem like he was prolific enough to play as a wide forward in the way that Klopp plays with his wide forwards. But who knows what's going to happen in terms of someone coming in. I can see him maybe doing better in the way that someone like Alonso seems to use his forwards at Leverkusen. Someone like, and he's not, obviously not of the quality of, but someone in the mould of someone like Florian Wirtz. I can see kind of similarities between the two players there. Not in terms of quality, but just play style. But I still don't see how he fits into this team in terms of quality. And I think we just have to see what happens next season. I think loans at this stage of a player's career, it feels like he's heading towards an exit from the club. And I think it's time to give him one more chance, really, in terms of a Premier League loan, see how he does. The pessimist in me says that that's to build up his price tag for the following summer when we sell him on. But let's see. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, a few things to say on this. I mean, first off, I didn't think it was the worst decision to loan him to Leipzig. We know how much emphasis they place on young talent. Whether Liverpool overrated him or not, I'm not going to criticise him too much, because I think at the time I thought it was quite a good decision. And I do think I'd sort of agree with you, Jamie, in the sense that when a player is going on loan at this point, I don't think it always bodes that well. And obviously, especially what went wrong when he was over in Germany. But obviously still time to turn things around. Jamie says that a loan to a team sort of near the bottom of the Premier League could be good. What do you think on that, Liam? Like, if you had to choose between sort of playing for a very competitive championship side, and I think Hull are basically in and around that playoff picture at the moment, or a team, I mean, if you looked at the relegation battle in the Premier League this season, I mean, they're all, I mean, Luton are all right, but the bottom two are pretty terrible, let's be honest. I mean, what's more beneficial for a player like Cavalho, you know, playing Premier League level opponents, even in a struggling team, or playing somewhere where, you know, the vibes are a bit better, you can dominate matches a bit more, but the level's actually lower, so it's less representative?
I would agree with Jamie in that I think if we are to loan out Cavalho again, it does have to be to a Premier League club, and it might not necessarily be one right at the bottom. I think maybe somewhere like a Crystal Palace or Bournemouth, or possibly even a Brentford, could be still a good level for him. And we know that some of those teams, like, you know, Brentford in particular, tend to play quite on the front foot a lot. So it's not like he's gone to a sort of like a 4-4-2 team where you might not see a whole lot of the ball. So if you were to get a low move, I think someone of that ilk would be ideal. If it was up to me, I would keep him at Liverpool for the start of next season at least. I think he's shown at Hull that there is definitely a player in there, and even when the bits of him that I saw at Liverpool, like he is a rough diamond. I think that is something that we all accept. But I look at him and think there is a player in there, and there is someone that in the right circumstance with the right manager could take flight in a big way. Like, he's still only 21, so still has loads of time to turn things around. And also, while Jamie has rightly pointed out the caveat of who the next manager would be and what their preferred style of play would be, Cavalho is one of those who we know can adapt to a few different roles. Like we see with Gomez in defence, that can be a crucial commodity to have in a squad. The other thing with Cavalho is that obviously, at the outset of the season, and even we say when we learned about in January, it had looked as if opportunities for him would be limited. The perverse thing about that, the paradox, is that had he stayed at Anfield, he would have actually gotten quite a few games for us. When you look at the players who got injured after that, and us having to try and to play in the likes of Jadon Dans, Louis Koumas, Trey Leone, of course, got that one game as well. That Cavalho probably would have got a few runouts and maybe that opportunity to show that, you know, that he was worth investing in the first place. So right now I would say hold on to him. Although, like that, I wouldn't be totally averse to possibly a loan to a Palace or Bournemouth or Brentford or something like that either.
Yeah, so we had a clean sweep for the first, was it the first four players? And now for these last couple, it's been 2-1. I would loan them out again, I think, probably. But again, I'm happy to defer to the new manager on that one, I think, as well, in terms of if they've seen something there, go for it. And to be honest, if the new manager decided to sell them, I don't think I'd be too sad about it as much as I do think it'd be ideal to give them a little bit more time. Two more players left then. Penultimate one is Bobby Clark. 14 appearances this season. He's really sort of stepped up in terms of his minutes. 14 appearances overall, 12 this season. Three starts, one in the league, which was his full debut against Nottingham Forest. One in the Europa League against Sparta Prague, where he got his first goal and first assist. And then one in the FA Cup against Southampton too. And like Liam alluded to, has sort of stepped up recently with a lot of players being out injured. I'll bring it straight back to you, Liam. What do you see his role being next season? Because again, he's one of them where it's keep versus loan, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. As we're talking now, I probably would lean towards loaning him out because I think if, you know, we're fortunate enough to begin or even like towards the end of the season to get to have pretty much the majority, if not all of our, the majority, we'll say, of our midfielders fit. You know, it's probably difficult to envisage him getting a whole lot of game time, especially now that, you know, because the stakes are getting higher and higher, Klopp might be that, might be as risk averse in terms of like, playing wild cards for all the world. But I agree that Clark has been excellent. You know, he's made far more of an impression than I ever could have hoped he'd make. And it's just that I think if we have like a full midfield to choose from going into the start of next season, and so maybe new manager might also want to bring in his own options as well, I probably would be leaning towards a loan to, again, possibly we'll say a club near, like, with promotion aspirations in the Championship. Someone in Hull City, where Tyler Martin seems to be flying it as well as Carvalho, might even be the right option, because Liam Richardson, I think he's the manager there, just seems to be able to get the best out of these players who come in. So somewhere like that could be an ideal location for him, especially if they're kind of up challenging for the playoffs, but don't quite manage to get up to the Premier League again this year.
Yeah, I think that's a club where Liverpool have got a little bit of a relationship there as well. I seem to remember Harry Wilson spent some time on loan with them too, so that could be quite a good one as well. Are you going to sort of make it 3 out of 3 for loan then, Jamie?
I am. With the caveat that I spoke about it being kind of him versus Bajcetic in a way, in terms of getting that kind of young, up-and-coming, but good enough for the first team role in the squad next season. And I think, having said all I've said, I would actually look at them both in pre-season before coming to a decision on that. I do think we would need one of them in the squad next season in terms of squad depth. And if they both came in for pre-season and Bajcetic had clearly fallen off a cliff, then there'd be a conversation about keeping Clark around. I would expect that Bajcetic would be the one who's more ready to kind of fulfill that role in the first team next season. And therefore, I would just like you, I'd send Clark out on loan. There's a question, because of how small a sample size we've, in terms of his appearance, of what his level is, and therefore where would be a suitable loan. The optimist in me says again that he might be someone like you mentioned, Liam, like a Crystal Palace, or someone might want to look at, or a lower end Premier League team. But the realist in me agrees with the shout of kind of like a Hull City or someone like that, who a kind of Harvey Elliott equivalent loan, you know, when he was at Blackburn, he did very well there. One of the only really successful loans I can think, like undoubtedly as successful loans for a young Liverpool player that I can think of in Klopp's time. And so somewhere where he can really kind of dominate possession and show his quality, which he clearly has bags of, would suit him best next season.
Yeah, and I think always with a young number eight like him, you're looking at sort of what kind of midfielder is he going to end up being? Is he going to end up being like a Curtis Jones type figure where his contribution's a bit more under the radar? Or is he going to be someone who's there pushing right or playing the final pass, going for goal himself, things like that? So it'd be interesting to see, maybe there'll be a hint if he does go out on loan of what the new manager's vision for him would be in terms of his long-term role in the side. Because like I've said numerous times, he for me is the next one off the block almost when it comes to Liverpool's academy and that conveyor belt that we've seen this season. Let's finish off then with Cody Gakpo. We kind of needed one of the attackers in here. He's the one who is widely regarded as the fifth choice option. And while he has played in 42 games this season, he's only started 12 of Liverpool's 28 Premier League matches. He's got 13 goals and 5 assists and a goal involvement every 131 minutes. But has come in for a lot of criticism, actually, after the game against Manchester United. Well, Liverpool obviously were knocked out of the FA Cup and they squandered quite a few opportunities to kill the game off. I'll come to you first on him, Jamie.
I think the Gakpo hysteria, as I would call it, has been way over the top. To be quite honest, he's a keep for me, and there's very little doubt in that. Bar some sort of crazy offer, and by crazy I'm talking 45 million plus or something like that. This is a player who's, we've touched on, you said yourself, he's fifth choice. He's what, made 12 starts out of 28 league games or whatever. And he's still got, as you also said, 13 goals and 5 assists. It's a very, very respectable record. I've heard people say he doesn't score important goals as well. It's just kind of stat padding. I don't think that's true either. I think back to the goal at Anfield against Fulham in the Carabao Cup semi-final, which really turned the game on its head, turned the tie on its head even. I could probably come up with more crucial goals that he scored if I could think about it. There's one, it's a header, which gets us back in the game at Anfield, one game, and I can't remember precisely what it is, but it's quite recent in it. Someone pulls it back from the byline, which again turns the game on its head. I really don't understand. I get he was poor against Manchester United. He was very poor against Manchester United. But, I mean, players have off days, and people are seeing it as the kind of culmination of this kind of slide into nothingness or whatever that Gakpo has supposedly become. And really, I do not see it. I think he's still the fifth choice attacker. Don't get me wrong. I think there's four attackers better than him in the squad. But, God, if City had a fifth choice attacker as good as him, and they probably do, then we'd be praising him to the high heavens. I do not understand the Gakpo hate, and I'm very much team Gakpo on this, and it's a keep for me. It's a keep.
I'll throw it straight over to you, Liam, before I weigh in on this one to finish us off.
Yeah, I'm very much aligned with Jamie's side of thinking. Easy position, keep him. The criticism over the Man United game was way over the top. He just seems to be like the flavour of the month for the Twitter fan base to have a go at. We alluded to his goal tally, 13 goals. So to put that in context, I think if memory serves me correctly, in the Rodgers' last season, we say his last full season before Klopp came in, our top scorer was Sturridge with about roughly that same tally. Maybe he was like 15, but definitely more than that. And we're talking about like our fifth choice and probably our most disposable attacker if we were to get rid of one, being on 13 goals with still 2 months of the season to go. So that is kind of the level that I suppose that we're at now, and that Gakpo is at himself. We're not in a position that we can like easily jettison attackers either. Like, we have five very good ones who, you know, have all proven that you're good enough to, you know, to start Liverpool. Like, obviously Salah is on a completely different level entirely, but there's no one that you look there and think, okay, yeah, they're stealing a living, you know, being in this squad at the moment. It's an easy decision. There is still, Gakpo is still a very, very good player, anyone advocating for him to be sold, you know, is mistaken. In terms of the price, like, again, I wouldn't take anything, like, same with Jamie, nothing south of 45 million. Above that, I'd consider it, but I definitely wouldn't be snapping. I wouldn't be like taking the money and saying thanks very much either. Too important to be getting rid of at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with Gakpo is the positions, isn't it? 20 games as a centre forward, 8 as a left winger, 8 as a right winger, 7 as a central midfielder. I mean, he's not played in a single role for more than half of Liverpool's games. He's been moved around a lot. We did a podcast previously where we talked about the biggest kind of questions facing Liverpool's new manager. And one of those was where Gakpo fits in. And hopefully for his sake, he does have a more defined role under the next coach. And I think he is someone who could sort of take a leap. I had a particularly optimistic take about Gakpo at the start of this season, which I may have to bury when we come back to reflect on those at the end of the season. But, you know, goal involvement every 131 minutes. You can't argue with that too much, I suppose, when you're just looking at the numbers alone. I think we all expected a little bit more from him this year, and he has had games where he's struggled, but very much retaining hope in him and keeping him. And to be honest, you've said 45. That would be virtually kind of breaking even when you talk about the add-ons that Liverpool paid. I would be looking at closer to 60 million, to be honest, before I thought about selling him, because I'm thinking, at what point does it make sense to let him go and then reinvest the money? And for me, that's only when you're getting an offer like that, in terms of almost the effort that it takes to do that deal, which wouldn't otherwise be necessary, and finding a player who's going to be a considerable upgrade. I think you're looking at that kind of price tag, and we know that Liverpool tends to just reinvest money that they've got anyway. So yeah, I'd be looking at even more to get rid of him, as much as I do think he should have done a bit better overall this season. But yeah, so that is all of the players done. I'll just quickly run through our verdicts before we finish. So we are keeping Kelleher, letting Joel Matip go at the end of his contract, keeping Kwanzaa, Tsimikas and Bajcetic, loaning out Carvalho and Clark, and then keeping Gakpo. I think this year, without the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita, for example, in there, there's obviously a lot of departures last year, has been a little bit more maybe on the optimistic side in terms of, you know, persisting with players, but we'll see what the new manager and the new sporting director have to say about all of this, and whether there are any controversial decisions that get made. But that will do us for today's episode. Thanks to Liam and Jamie for joining me. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. We'll have another episode for you next week before the Premier League resumes at Liverpool's trip to Brighton, so keep your eyes peeled for that one. But until then, take care.